A leading cause of death amongst teenagers today is suicide. The CDC reports it as the third leading cause of death in 15 to 24-year-olds. More disturbing still is that it's the fourth leading cause of death for children aged 10 to 14. Teen suicide is a very real issue. Since 2009, instead of falling, the rates are now rising. Understanding the triggers and treating them is vital to save our youth. Prevention is possible. Stay with us as we explore this serious topic. Knowing what to do may save your family. Welcome to Go Healthy for Good. I'm Dr. Merritt and I'm glad you've joined me today. Go Healthy for Good is live every Monday to Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're on Facebook and Twitter at Go Healthy Live and our website is hopetv.org/gohealthy. Adolescence is a turbulent time when knowing what constitutes normal behaviour can be challenging. To better understand these issues, we have an adolescent psychiatrist in the studio today. Shortly, she'll walk us through high-risk behaviours for teenage suicide. But first, let's meet Jo as she shares her own personal tragedy.
I am a survivor of suicide. It began with a phone call letting me know that my son's best friend had chosen to take his own life. And that was in February, and within 3 months of that, even though we knew my son was at risk and we put him in counseling and were very aware that it was a possibility, my 15-year-old son also chose to end his life. And this is my son, Jay, at different times here. You know, just a fun day at the creek here, and that was his favorite little dog, Frankie. This was taken just days before he died at 15. This is his 8th grade graduation, so I've survived what every parent dreads and what I really consider the worst possible thing that can happen. That was 8th grade, the last grade that he ever graduated. You know, for a lot of years I kind of stayed stuck on that thought. I hated graduations of any kind, and you know, that thought that he was not ever going to graduate from college or get married and all of that, and I had a hard time going to graduations and weddings and that sort of thing for a long time. Losing a child is really one of those things that can shake your emotional, mental, and spiritual health like nothing else can. And getting through that, I really had days when, I guess the best way to describe it would be to say that I felt like my heart was betraying me to continue to beat, and like you think, why do I have to keep breathing? It just hurts so much and so deeply to even be alive. And it's very different than a physical injury. If you end up in a wheelchair or you're a paraplegic, people know that something happened to you. But with an emotional injury like that, it's not like people are going to stop and open the door for you. It's very different trying to survive that. And you can't possibly understand it unless you've been there and tried to survive that kind of emotional devastation.
Joining me today is Rhoda Godfrey, child and adolescent psychiatrist from Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in Baltimore. Welcome, Rhoda.
Thank you.
Now, in 2009, the statistics for America were that 1,852 young people took their lives. What are the risk factors that we see in this group of people?
Well, one of the big risk factors is substance use, whether it's alcohol or other drugs of abuse and misuse. That's one of the big risk factors. Also, depression is found, some type of mental illness is found in about 90% of those who do end up killing themselves or committing suicide. So mental illness is it's a big risk factor.
Do we actually know how many of those have sought help or and actually received treatment for mental illness? Or is it just one of those things that might be a retrospective diagnosis? Or do we know?
I'm not sure of the different studies are kind of done differently, but it would have to be, for a suicide, it would have to be retrospectively looking at the case and also whether that person sought mental health treatment or they were treated for mental illness of some type, usually.
Mm-hmm. Do parents find it hard to seek help for mental illness? Do they find it hard to actually think that their young person may have that label attached to them at such a young age?
Yes, it's very hard. I think in our society in general, mental illness is misunderstood and often not wanted to be addressed because there's a lot of shame, guilt involved in mental illness, a lot of, you know, kind of moral issues are tied up with mental illness. So that kind of a lot of times does create a barrier for seeking help. Yeah.
And this is one very good reason to seek help if you realize that your child has an issue. Now, in Joe's case, Jay saw his friend commit suicide and then he chose that for himself. How is that one of the risk factors?
It is. It is because there's another case in the Native American community where one young person did commit suicide, and this was linked to several other suicides after that. So there's documented cases of this kind of thing where one person commits suicide and then there's other people that follow suit. So it kind of, and also in families, if one person has committed suicide in the family, it increases the risk for other people in the family. So that is a documented risk factor. It just kind of lowers the cultural threshold in general. It kind of says maybe this is an okay out for a problem, or it kind of sets a precedent, I guess. So unfortunately, that is true.
Mm. Well. And I think I've heard, and you'd be able to tell me if it's true, that if in a soap opera on TV, if there is a case, then that can actually start a bit of a epidemic of it as well.
Yeah, I haven't heard of documented cases of that in particular, but I can see how that might be true.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Any other risk factors? We've mentioned mental illness, substance abuse, the copycat suicide pattern.
Lethal means in the home, such as firearms.
So it's good to keep the firearms locked up?
Yes.
Or the ammunition well away, or just even keep the bolt hidden in a rifle?
The access to lethal means. For example, in Asian countries, women tend to commit suicide more than here. Men in this country tend to commit suicide more than women through firearms. In Asian countries, the most prevalent form of suicide is poisoning, and women tend to take the pesticide poisoning. So it's access to lethal means. Mm. So if you have access to those means, then it increases the risk of suicide.
Now, we mentioned bullying last week. We had a whole show on bullying last mm-hmm. week, and this issue came up. Is that very commonly? Is teen suicide very commonly associated with bullying?
It has been documented in this country, especially recently. There's been a lot of attention towards that. You know, anything that's going to cause distress, a lot of Bullying is probably the thing that causes probably the most distress for teenagers. If you're not accepted by your peer group, the peer group is really important for teenagers. And if you're not accepted, if you're excluded, it certainly increases the risk.
Mm-hmm. Now, suicide is the tip of a very tragic iceberg because it represents a group that have thought about it. So many teens think about it or plan for it or even attempt it. Do they have different risk factors? Are they the same group?
So many teens do think about suicide. It's about 15% is the statistic of teens that actually admit that they've had thoughts of suicide. Probably about, and I think the statistic is about 7% of teens actually make attempts to suicide or have active thoughts. You know, suicidal behavior can be anything from cutting to, you know, even just scratching yourself, anything that causes sort of injury. That can be a suicidal behavior. It can also be a behavior that is a release for some teens that are suffering from depression, or so that it can be suicidal in nature, but it can also be.
So it can be a cry for help, can't it?
Yes, yeah. It can definitely be a cry for help.
Something that needs to be taken very seriously rather than punished to actually respond appropriately.
Yeah, so just talking about it, getting help. Punishment usually doesn't work in that case. It is a cry for help. So getting help is really the most important thing.
We're discussing a very sensitive topic today. Dr. Rhoda is helping us understand more about suicide in teenagers. In the next segment, finding signs and symptoms before it's too late. And for our cooks, Justin is back with one of his favourite recipes, coming in just 1 minute. Don't move, we'll be right back.
My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
So many ways to experience the Bible.
Well, Justin's back with us all the way from Germany. Willkommen, Justin.
Well, danke.
Did you bring us a good recipe from Germany?
Well, not from Germany, but from my roots in delicious hummus making, we'll say.
Hummus?
Yes, we're making hummus today. My absolute most favorite recipe ever.
Well, finally, hummus. We get your hummus.
Yes. It's been a long time coming, but it's time. Let's do this.
Okay. I think we've got our ingredients up there for
you. Oh, yeah. So to make this amazing, scrumptious, delicious hummus, it's a can of chickpeas, just a standard can of chickpeas, and pour half the liquid off and keep the rest of the liquid for the recipe. Then 2 cloves of garlic or more, if you're like me, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 tablespoons of tahini, also known as sesame butter.
Right.
Juice of 1 lime and a little bit of salt. So it's a simple recipe. It's one of those dump it all in the blender recipes and you're good.
Oh, well, I'm interested in watching you make this.
Okay. So blender, food processor, whatever it takes to get the stuff
actually
mixed
you're right
together.
Food processor does work well.
Yeah, it works great.
Yeah,
so this is chickpeas, one can of chickpeas, and what I do is I just, you know, like a bachelor, I undo the lid, I pour off a little bit of the water, and then I pour the entire rest of the contents of the can.
All right.
Into the, so it
well,
would
be, I think you've got the juice of the can here.
Yeah, this is the juice of the can here. So normally I would just pour the whole can in with about half of the liquid from the can, just like that.
Great. And for those of you that do your own, cook your own chickpeas, this would be a cup and a half. So
if you don't need the bachelor recipe.
Right. If you started from scratch.
That's right. Okay. Now,
so good around here.
Oh, I know. And we're about to make it smell even better. Garlic.
Yeah, now don't go eating any of that raw. We need to get you married off quickly.
Hey, you know, I got sick a couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
And my when I woke up with a sore throat that morning, I made it my mission to eat as much garlic as I could that day. I ate a head and a half of garlic.
A whole bulb?
Yeah,
and
entire bulb and a half of garlic. And
girls,
probably like,
be warned.
Yeah, and like six lemons.
He gets nuclear every so often.
Like six lemons.
Oh,
I did
wow.
not have a sore throat after that. So garlic. Now I like.
Now he's only got two. I promise. There's only two in this recipe, but you might glow in the dark.
Yeah.
After that.
I like more garlic. This right. is only two cloves, but I usually put yeah. three or four. So
do you throw them in whole or?
I put them in whole. No need to.
Okay.
No need to pre-chop them.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the juice from one lime. You can do lemons or limes. I like limes.
Yeah.
And what I do is I just cut the lime in half and squeeze each half into the thing. We've got the juice conveniently here in a bowl so that you can see it go in. Oh, beautiful. This recipe combines.
But if you squeeze it, don't you find the seeds, the pips go in, and then you get a little bit of a bitter taste?
Little trick. If you squeeze them like this, use your fingers as a strainer. That's one thing you can do. An alteration on this recipe is what I do sometimes is actually peel the lime and put the whole thing in.
Wow, pips and all.
Yeah.
Well, there goes my theory.
Yeah.
Don't listen to me, listen to Justin.
Okay, and then tahini or sesame butter. I've found that if you want to get really good tahini or sesame butter, buy what's called sesame butter in the store, because sometimes tahini, what's labeled tahini, can be really bitter. But it's the same thing. I don't know why the difference.
And it might be that it's gone rancid. So
it could be.
So you can buy tahini in cans where it's nicely sealed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tahini in. Ugh. I think the reason I like hummus so much is because the things it's made out of are all of my favorite things.
Oh, I see.
So
yes.
I love chickpeas.
Yep.
I mean, garlic. We've covered
the same.
That. Yeah.
I'm exactly the same.
Yeah.
You're right. I like garlic and tahini and chickpeas, olives. I love limes. I've never put limes in mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It's always lemon juice.
Now, chickpeas, my understanding, you're the doctor, but my understanding is the chickpea has the perfect balance of nutrients for the human body. It's got just the right amount of protein, just the right amount of carbs, just the right amount of fat, and it's got, you know, all these other lovely vitamins too. So it's just like the perfect food for us humans.
Sounds like you're spinning a yarn to me.
Well, I mean, it is a wonderful, wonderful food item.
But he might be right.
Yeah.
We'll give it to him because I have no evidence against it.
Okay.
So, yep. And you put a little oil in.
A little olive oil.
Mmm.
And salt to taste. You don't actually need a whole lot of salt.
Right.
I'll put about that much in.
Okay.
Now we have some olives here, and sometimes
I
like
to. An optional extra.
Yeah, you can throw. We'll chuck a few olives in.
Okay.
There. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right, so let's blend this up. And that is hummus.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, that was easy, right?
Easy.
Anyone can do that. Even you can. And we can all do this, but only we get to do it. Yay!
If you make this at home, you can do this next part yourself over and over and over.
After you.
Okay.
Yeah. Since you're the creator of it.
Shall we?
Oh.
Toast.
Toast.
Mm.
Happy chipping.
Mmm. Mmm.
Mmm.
Delicious.
Oh, I love that lime tang.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm-mm.
A little tip. Some people like their hummus a little coarse.
Yep.
Just blend it for a few seconds. If you like it silky smooth, blend it for as long as it takes.
Great. That's a good tip. Well, I know you're glad to have Justin back in the kitchen again. So welcome back.
Thank you.
However, now we'll return to our sobering discussion for today. And I want to share with you a report on teen suicide.
A 14-year-old girl in Michigan accused an 18-year-old schoolmate of raping her. Her mom says that triggered weeks of taunting and ridicule at her high school. On Monday, Samantha Kelly hanged herself in her home.
More than 10,000 teenagers in our state will attempt suicide this year. It's a shocking number, putting Arizona's seventh highest in the nation for suicide among our youth.
Seven young people killing themselves all in one year, all from the very same small town. A 20-year-old girl hanged herself last week. She is the latest victim. There are the pictures of all of them.
Now one mom blames her 18-year-old daughter's suicide on it. This started when Jessie Logan sent a naked picture of herself to her boyfriend last year. They broke up, then the photo ends up all over the school. Months later, her mom found Jessie hanging in her bedroom closet.
At 16, Jessica Fernandez of Vermilion has become one of 4,000 American teenagers who take their own lives each year.
19-year-old Kip Walker took to the stage in Oregon on Thursday, singing a song called Sorry for All the Mess at an open mic night. When he finished, he stood up and repeatedly stabbed himself in the chest.
According to the Centers for Disease Control, one in five high school students seriously considers suicide. So if you have a high school math class with 20 students in it, four of the kids in that class have considered killing themselves.
Those are very disturbing stories, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Mm. How might family and friends see the signs of incidents like that?
I think if your son or daughter is talking about suicide, if they seem depressed, if their mood is different, if they might be writing about death or making statements about death. Usually people that commit suicide have some ambivalence about it, so they are not totally committed to it. And most of the time they do talk about it to other people, even health professionals. So all health professionals, nurses, physical therapists, teachers can be on the lookout for any, you know, signs that someone is thinking about suicide.
Any other signs of talking, writing, and a change in mood? Those are the big things.
Changes in mood, changes in behavior, making threats, and sometimes people think that, you know, one big myth is if you commit suicide or if you attempt to commit suicide a lot, like you might take an overdose. And then it's, you know, it wasn't...
A previous attempt.
A previous attempt. Mm. And some people think, well, they don't really mean it. If they've tried it before and it hasn't worked, they're just, you know, sort of crying wolf. There's that feeling. But actually, each attempt increases your risk of actually committing suicide. So.
Do they isolate themselves often before attempting? Not particularly.
Yeah, I think sometimes people do kind of draw away if they think if they're actually going to commit suicide, then they might not want to have their loved ones around them at that time.
So what do you as a psychiatrist have in your toolkit to help in this situation?
Well, I think, you know, it really is a team effort. As a psychiatrist, you know, when someone is seriously trying to commit suicide or is seriously thinking about it, a lot of times that requires coming into the hospital, and we really have a team approach. So occupational therapy, nurses, social workers, the doctors, all work together to really make up a plan of how to change things and how to move forward. So the problems that any person has or the family has can really be helped with a team effort. And that's really where we, what kind of treatment we do.
So if someone close is showing signs, I think we've got a graphic with a 1-800 number that they can call.
Yes.
Which is the suicide hotline.
Yes.
How important is it, which will pop up while we're talking, but how important is it that families stay involved at that point? Do you involve them in that therapy?
Yes. It's very important for the family to be involved in the treatment. We have the family come in. They're a big part of the treatment, a part of the treatment team, first telling us what the problems are and what the, you know, the symptoms are and what's happening, but then also being a real part of how to change, you know, what, how to go forward. So, and no parent, I want to make it clear, no parent should feel guilty if it's their child has committed suicide as if they've done something wrong. But there are things that we think that we can help, you know, going forward. Mm. So I don't want anyone to feel like they...
No, that's so important, and thank you for bringing that out. There must never be a guilt around this at all.
Well, it's naturally guilt-provoking, you know, and not every suicide can be prevented, but we're going, you know, we move forward trying to...
That's our goal, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just because it isn't always possible, we can still make it our goal.
Yeah.
Now, teens are subject to a lot of peer pressure. How important are their friends in this recovery process?
Friends are really important. I think friends being involved and getting the teenager back into a normal circle of friends and realizing that, because I think depression itself sort of isolates you from people, and that's how the disease kind of keeps you in the illness. And so part of the treatment is getting back into whatever, you know, whatever the normal activities are, like school and friends, and that's a really big part of the treatment.
So staying involved or getting back into the involvement. And and there must be a lot of shame around it, so facilitating that for your youngster would be really important.
Right. What to say when you go back to school. You know, you don't have to tell them that you are in this treatment, you know, but we do that with kids, you know, teach them kind of what to say, how to get back into their normal environment, and how to really combat depression.
Excellent. Antidepressants, good or bad for young people?
I think that, antidepressants have a really big role in treating depression. And you have to talk to your doctor about, you know, there's always risks and benefits to every medication. So, you know, really talking with your doctor about the risks and the benefits, but there's really big risks to depression too.
Right. So it's weighing up two very serious sides.
Yeah.
Well, tonight's topic is a very important and sensitive one. We'll be taking your questions soon. Before that, though, Sean, our trainer, is waiting for us, so get off the couch, get ready for some partner exercise. But first, let's take a look at today's medical news report. The headlines today: reversing the damage of abuse. Is a soulmate really good for the soul? Bullies and victims, who knows what's right? Vitamins for obesity? A study published in the American Journal of Orthopsychiatry assessed the effectiveness of therapy on youth with a history of being abused. Compared to boys, girls were even more affected, even after therapy. Abused youth showed more hostility and anxiety, along with more mood, behavior, and eating disorders. The study showed behaviorally focused treatment gave improvement on every measure. So don't live with the damage. Find healing. It's generally thought that secrecy is bad and sharing is good. But what about sharing secrets? A Dutch study of nearly 800 adolescents showed that shared secrets were more common than private secrets, and that sharing secrets was linked with higher interpersonal functioning. Adolescents who kept secrets to themselves had more delinquency, physical complaints, depression, loneliness, and lower quality relationships. So find a soulmate to share your secrets with. It's good for your soul. A study of Swiss adolescents was published in the British Journal of Developmental Psychology this week. The focus was on moral development in bullies, victims, and bully victims. Compared to students not involved, bullies were less likely to think in terms of right versus wrong. Bully victims were more likely to think that what's wrong is right. And victims produced more empathy but had fewer moral rules, and the frequency of twisted rules increased with their age. So let's set the record straight. If you're a victim, it's okay to assert yourself, and bullying is wrong. A recent study of children with chronic illness was done to assess their levels of vitamin D. Almost 1 in 4 were found to be deficient. Children with vitamin D deficiency were older and had higher rates of obesity. The American researchers are recommending vitamin D screening and supplementation in all children with chronic illness, especially those who are overweight. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's Medical News Report.
Every hour of every day, someone somewhere is praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Seven, seven, seven. Praying at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. 7 days a week.
In our current series on Hope Sabbath School, we're looking at the big picture of Scripture. Growing in Christ and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We'll be looking from Genesis all the way to Revelation, the big story of God's good plan for each one of our lives. We hope you'll join us for Hope Sabbath School and see what God can do to bless your life.
Welcome back. Here we are with our friend Sean. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Good, good.
So you know Wednesdays are our partner days, right?
Yes.
So let's get into this, all right? Let's start with some arm circles, all right?
Okay.
Arms forward, eyes forward. Just getting your arm nice and warmed up. What you can do is you can march in place at the same time, working your legs, getting that warmed up. At the same time, working your shoulder a little bit, all
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Nice.
In three.
Join us.
Two and one. Switch directions. Oh. I don't want to mess you up, right?
Okay. He always messes me up. I'm sure he doesn't mess you up.
Come on. Three, two, and one. Shake it out. All right. The first exercise we're going to do is work the bottom abdominal area, okay? So okay. I want you to lay down
all right.
on your back. And what Dr. Narada is going to do is wrap her hand around my ankle, all right, targeting the lower abdominal area. So she's going to bring her legs up. And what I'm going to do is push them down. What she's going to do is not let them touch the ground. And there you go. Working that lower part of the abdominal area. Now, as me standing here as the base, I'm pushing her leg a little bit. What you can do is push down to that side just a little bit, just so she can work the oblique. And then the opposite side. All right. And then straight again. Three different areas, again, targeting that middle and the bottom of your abdominal area. Okay. Aim for about 30 seconds. Or each time you do it, you can do the front for 10, the right for 10, and then She's doing so good. You keep on going, right?
Oh.
There you go. Good job. All right. So again, let's work in the bottom part of the abdominal area. All right.
Right.
Actually, since you're down there, let's stay down there and turn around.
Okay.
So what we're going to do, since it's you and your partner, someone fun, we're going to interlock feet just like that. All right. She's going to lock feet. We're going to do sit-ups. All right. As
now,
you come up.
This isn't fair. Sean knows that I'm not very good at this.
Yes, she
so
is.
You're going to beat me.
Yes, she is. All right. So take a deep breath. And we're going to go back, hands here, as you come up, oh, and clap. There you go, back down.
I'll do the easy one for
oh,
you.
Well.
So you know what the easy way is?
No.
Yes? You do want me to come back up.
Well, you know what? That's a good point, though. Not everybody can be able to go down. So try it again. Go ahead. Holding that side there just stabilize you a little bit. Or your partner, what they can do is hold your feet down a little bit. So continue doing it. Go for about three more. There you go. Again,
yeah,
it's your partner.
Holding down, I'm good.
There you go. You can put your hand right behind your head.
Come on. I'm not quite
you
there
good
yet.
Try? All right, good. Again, working that top part of your abdominal area. Pretty
so
cool.
So this walks up here.
There you go. So before, the first exercise was the bottom. Now the second one was the top. So nice, fun exercise. All right, and we're going to do a squat. I love the squat. So I want you to interchange hands, all right? Like this. Actually, like that. All right?
Yeah? Okay.
And I want you to lean back. Trust me. I promise I won't let you fall. You trust me?
Do we trust him?
Yes, you better trust me. All right, we're going to squat down. You want to get down nice and low and back up. All right, let's go for five. And on the fifth one, we'll hold it for 30 seconds. All right, again, targeting your quads, coming back up and breathing. All right, as you can see, stay right there for a little bit.
That was only number
four.
Come on.
No. What I want you to do is make sure that this knee doesn't pass. Doesn't pass in front of the sneaker. All right, and back up. That was three. Come on. Go. Four.
That was four.
The last one was five. We're going to hold for 30 seconds, all right? This is where you and your partner come in handy and trust one another, all right? Lean back, all right? You want to get down nice and low.
We're water skiing now.
There you go. And hold it, all right? Yep. You can even do a little bounce, all right? Just do a little bounce. All right? Just to target quad just a little bit more. How about 10 more seconds? 10, 9, bounce. Come on, 8. 7, 9, 8, 7, 6,
he can't
5,
even count.
4, 4, 4, 4, 3, 2, job. And 1. Yes, good job. So again, targeting the quads, and you want to have some, you know, you want to be able to work those quads. I mean, you want to walk away feeling, okay, I worked a little bit, all right? And what I have here is a ladder. You can get a ladder from, you know, any of these sporting stores. It's kind of fun. What I did is I took my long ladder, and I doubled it over, all right? Oh. What we're going to do is, partner, right? You're going to step in here. So my partner's going to follow behind me.
Okay. You don't even need a ladder if you don't have one.
There you go.
Pretend.
And then walk it back
down. I forgot what you were
doing. So you step in, and then squat down. Yes. So now you're getting a double whammy, right? So now you work the quads here. And you're going to superset, meaning two exercises that work the same region, right?
Yeah.
So here it is. You keep it going. This is a nice cardiovascular exercise. You do it for about 30 to 60 seconds. As you can see, it can take the wind out of you. And you keep going. All right? And then what you do is you take about a 60-second break and then repeat the whole thing again.
Great.
You want to repeat it again?
No, I think we need to do a bit of stretching.
Cool. So again, four exercises, working the low abdominal, upper abdominal, working some of the quads, and supersetting it with a cardiovascular and a quadricep exercise. Pretty cool, right?
Right.
All right. My heart rate is up a little bit. Yours?
Yeah, mine too.
All right, take a deep breath. One more time. Open hands up. Let's go down to the middle. And you know what, today we're going to stretch the calves. I'm going to show you how to stretch the calves. So I'm going to turn to the side a little bit, and we're just going to walk forward a little bit, okay? We're going to stretch this right calf and put your left right here. You want to make sure that heel, I'm going to use you as a...
Yeah.
Make sure that this heel goes all the way down, just so you got to stretch all the way up to the calf. Switch sides. There you go. And you just put that foot right behind here and get a good stretch. And what you could do is then walk your feet to your hands, come up nice and slow, and you get a nice stretch of your quads, I mean of your calves. All right. Now we did work a lot of the quadricep area.
Yes, we did.
So let's go here, my favorite of all time. Chest up and switch. Again, stretching out your glute, a little bit of your quad, and just preparing you to cool your body down.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Not bad, right? Shake it out.
Great.
How you feel?
Good.
We can do it again?
Thank you, Sean. We probably better quit.
I know. Next time.
Great.
Next time.
In just a moment, I'm going to answer some questions that you, our faithful viewers, have sent me during previous shows. But first, here's another Ageless Advantage spot.
Enjoy.
Doctors are not sure what causes fibromyalgia, but a recent study provides us with a surprising clue. In 2002, researchers caught up with women from the First Adventist Health Study. They wanted to know if any had been diagnosed with fibromyalgia. 136 women had. Surprisingly, the results showed an association with smoking and fibromyalgia. Current or previous smokers were 2 times more likely to receive a fibromyalgia diagnosis than those who had never smoked. Choosing not to smoke is another ageless advantage.
Now you can also go to our website, hopetv.org/gohealthy, to find all the shows and the recipes that we do on the show. So that again is hopetv.org/gohealthy. Now, don't forget to call us live. The number is 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. Or text us 301-960-5144. And we've got that great offer for our callers. First 5 callers who call us now during our live broadcast with a question about adolescent mental health issues, for my expert, Dr. Rhoda Godfrey, we will send you this book for free. It's a beautiful coffee table book full of lovely pictures, lots of good, interesting health information. So that offer is restricted, remember, for viewers of our live show. Thanks for posting your comments and questions on our Facebook page. And here are some questions that we didn't get a chance to answer on previous shows. Lyndon called and he asked, how can I get my 15-year-old teenage girl to exercise? Well, Lyndon, when you're a teen, it's got to be about fun. Fun and variety. So one day it might be swimming, another day it might be cycling, another day it might be taking a walk, might be having a game with the family. If you get involved, then she's more likely to stick with it. Accountability is really important for all of us, whether we're a teen or an adult. Now, a text message. Why do I get a headache when I'm exercising? Great question. One thing I would just want to ask you, how much water are you drinking? Are you staying really well hydrated? Or is it that when you start to exercise, your blood pressure goes up and your heart rate goes up because you're dehydrated? So make sure you're drinking plenty of water and be relaxed. If you're out running, try and relax those shoulders, relax your neck, try and keep your body. You'll notice that Sean tells us, body upright, chest up, head up, and be in a nice neutral position. Now, Brenda called and says, I've been smoking for over 20 years, have tried to quit at least 10 to 15 times. How many times, on average, do people try before quitting? Well, Brenda, you're about there. About 12 times, I think, is the number. And so I would say to you, try again. And, you know, we're going to have some more episodes on smoking. Maybe you'll be able to pick up some good tips there. But keep trying. You know, Benjamin Franklin, I think it was, he said, quitting smoking's easy. I've done it 100 times. So you're not quite there yet. Sandra had a question on yesterday's recipe. Can you replace green pepper with something else or just leave it out? Well, some people are allergic to these foods or they have a food intolerance. So I'd say just leave it out. You can try different things. If you find something good, post it on our Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for sending your questions. Keep sending them. The number's 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-4325. Now let's go back to Jo and her very moving story. Here's the second part.
It's really something to have survived and be able to say that I came through it with my faith intact, that I came through it with my mental health intact, and that spiritual battle that you have to fight for your emotional survival and your mental health. It has everything to do with, you have to not isolate, you have to get out there. You know, there is some prejudice in Christian circles at times against counseling. And yet those same good folks won't tell you just to pray when you've broken your arm. And you don't, you know, prayer is huge, but God sometimes answers those prayers by leading you to the right counselor or the right therapist. And, you know, a friend of mine around therapy tables used to say, there's only 2 times that you need to go to church. That's when you really want to go to church and when you really don't want to go to church. Sometimes those times when you don't want to walk through the doors of the church are the most critically, spiritually important times that you can. I had to get over the fact that I might cry in public, because I did a lot of crying in public. And, you know, I just had to say, you know, my church family is that place that I can be spiritually honest. And if I'm not doing well today, I don't have to say I'm fine. I can say not great and go sit down in my seat and weep through the service if that's what I need to do. What better place where people are going to know you're hurting and you're going to get all kinds of prayer support that you might not even know about that week? And, you know, there were, I just found in my church family so much love and support. It was just, you know, phenomenal. One of the key things is don't run away from your feelings. Feel your feelings. That may sound like a weird thing to say, but, you know, at times I would write a letter to my son and go to the graveyard. I know that he's not there, but it was a focus place for sorrow for me. And I would go there and read the letter and weep for a while. And that would allow my depression to lift to the point I could function for the rest of that week. And in my mind, that's how I did not end up on long-term sleeping pills or antidepressants. And in fact, I didn't fortunately need to resort to those at all.
Well, that was very sobering what Jo has gone through, and the grief and loss around being a suicide survivor.
Yeah, I think one of the things she said that is really true is that there is a stigma against mental illness that, you know, sometimes people don't understand, and they kind of frown on getting help and getting the therapy and treatment that they need.
Yeah. Now, thank you. We have a caller from Missouri, Alexa. You're calling us. Welcome to Go Healthy tonight. Tell us, what's your question, Alexa?
Oh, my question is that why are there so many people, young people, that have, like, want to commit suicide?
That's a good question, Alexa. It's a really deep question that you're asking.
How old are you? Oh, is it Alexa? Alexa? How old are you?
Alexia.
Alexia?
My name is, well, yeah, Alexia.
Oh, sorry, Alexia. How old are you?
I'm 10.
Wow, that's quite a good question.
Yeah, that is. I don't know if I know the complete answer. I think, you know, sometimes there's problems that come up and people don't see a way out of the problem. You know, when teenagers, when children become teenagers, they sort of start thinking more about the meaning of life, and sort of the brain kind of goes to thinking about why am I here, what's the reason for me being here, and that can go to altruistic purposes, but it can also kind of go to into fatalistic thinking, like there's no purpose, there's no reason. So, you know, that's it's kind of a touchy time, the teenage years, and then the older years, like after 65 is another peak in suicide rate. So that's another time where people are thinking, what is the meaning of my life, and sort of thinking about those kind of things.
Alexia, that was a wonderful deep question. Thank you so much. Friends, remember, we've got this awesome offer of a book, and if you call us now during our live podcast with a question as at least as good as Alexia's, then you'll get this, you'll get this lovely book, Celebrations, a beautiful pictorial celebration of life, and it's free. So call us now, 888-400-4325. Don't miss this gift. Go grab your phone, and we'll see you after the break.
The Word of God tells us that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. God has revealed truth in His Word, not only about what's happening in life, but truth about who He is as our great and awesome God. This week on Hope Sabbath School, we'll talk about God's revelation. It could bless your life. I hope you'll join us.
Now, before we answer your questions, let's take a look at Jo's story ending. The way that she managed to cope with pain is remarkable. I know this clip will inspire you, so stay by and watch.
You know, one of the ways that God has, one of the surprises that he had ahead for me was I never dreamed that I would be a mom again. I'm 56 years old, and about 3 years ago, I left the courtroom with a newborn in my arms.
Yeah, she's the best, huh?
You know, I talked about in the wake of losing a son to suicide, how you can drown in guilt and you can go, what did I do wrong? And the truth is, when you start believing the truth, that as a 15-year-old, he made a mistake that he couldn't take back. And that's the way so often I've known other suicide survivors. And the minute they woke up after they attempted and they weren't dead, they were just so glad to still be alive. And you know, that still, the suicide brings with it that tremendous weight of guilt that I should have been a better parent. If I'd have been a better mom, this wouldn't have happened. And that's not always the truth. And the way God healed that for me, and I never dreamed that this would be how he would get that through my head, is to let me be a mom again, all over again. You know, I wake my daughter up and she gets all the loves and snuggles and kisses, and I just pour my heart and life into her, and watching her be so, you know, well-grounded and happy is one of the only ways that God could ever get through to my heart. You know, Joe, you were a good parent. You are a good person, and it wasn't about that at all. And so I just think God's brought me on a journey of understanding and healing that, you know, I hope I can just share with some other people. If you, you know, for those, and people will struggle with guilt when it's not a suicide. A child gets killed in an accident and they think, oh, if I would have driven a different direction that day, or if we would have done this or that, and you can stay stuck there and just allow Satan to rob you of joy and, you know, stay stuck in that place of believing the lies instead of letting God finally bring the truth through to your heart and allow you to be healed and find joy in your life again.
That is a lovely story of healing, isn't it? And then to have a little one and to be able to start over.
Yeah. Really, yeah, I like what she said about, you know, it was a mistake that he couldn't take back. You know, it's a mistake. And
how do we help prevent our young people from making that mistake? What are some good protecting mechanisms?
One thing is, you know, staying connected as a family. You know, families today, you know, with a society kind of fast paced, a lot of families don't even eat together. You know, eating dinner together is something of a lost thing in society.
Yeah.
And just having that time to sit down at the table and talk about the day, you know, can be a really simple way to, you know, sort of connect as the family.
What lifestyle factors are important? You know, we think of the brain and we think about those lifestyle things that families can do together. What might be?
Well, doing things as a family is really good. Exercise is really important for the brain. We talk about, for depression, we talk about increasing neuroplasticity. So neuroplasticity is basically increasing your neurons. You know, we used to think that...
Building your brain.
Yeah, we used to think that you were born with all the neurons you were going to get. That's what they taught us when I was in grade school.
Yes.
But it's actually not true. We actually have new neurons throughout our life. And building...
That's great news, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And depression is really helped with the increase in neuroplasticity. So we try to support neuroplasticity. So exercise is a really big thing. And doing something that's fun, you talked about doing fun things, and actually it's better for you if it's fun for you. So, and that's, you know, better for your mood. So that is really important. You know, just basic getting good nutrition is really important for the brain. Very sensitive to nutrition.
Getting rid of those sugars, getting in those complex carbohydrates.
The more natural fruits and vegetables, omega-3 fatty acids is really good for your brain. The more natural, less processed foods is actually been shown in studies to be increase something called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which increases that neuroplasticity.
So it's like a growth hormone specifically for the brain?
Yes.
And that comes with? The unprocessed foods.
Right. There are studies that show increases in BDNF from exercise and from the unprocessed, less
fatty. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, that sounds wonderful, being able to grow our brains. Thank you so much, Dr. Rhoda, for being with us tonight. Suicide amongst our young is a tragic waste. Let's do everything in our power to create connectedness in our homes. It's been said that what your kids want for dinner tonight is you. Sit around the table and talk to them. No TV, no cell phones, no gadgets. Don't just coexist in that house. Live life together. Really value each other. Build their self-esteem. Deal seriously with issues that trouble them. And don't be afraid to seek help and have them assessed by an expert if you think that they need it. Young people, please don't do anything to harm yourself. You are of infinite value, unique and special. You are loved by God. Thank you for joining us on Go Healthy for Good. And on tomorrow's show, we're discussing arthritis. Don't miss it. I'll see you then.